If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today. We've been following a theme this month, as well as the children following it in their lessons, compassion. And it's easy to feel compassion for people, like people in India that don't perhaps have a lot, and we can help them out, and we certainly should. It's hard not to feel our hearts drawn toward the school in Connecticut and the town. We have a kind of a skewed sense of what people need. We think all the people around the other side of the world, they're the ones that are in need. And then we look what happens in our society, and I think we can call it Western society because it happens in our country as well, where those kind of things happen. And then we wonder who's really in need. It's just horrible and awful. What do people need anyway? What's our society need? Well, I believe they need the Lord. Who else can help a people that destroy themselves? The first week of our theme, we looked at God saw our greatest need, and our greatest need is rescue. And then last week we looked at God gave us the greatest gift. The greatest gift is Jesus. What will you give? And then today we're going to look at God gave us the greatest news. Who will you tell? Who will you tell? And it's kind of a heavy topic, but I thought I'd just maybe we'd lighten it up a little. I got this card, birthday card, and it's a picture of a dog on a chair. And it's one says napping, and the other says resting your eyes. I think it's kind of directed toward me. So I guess, when you open it up, you find out what the difference is. What's the difference between napping and resting your eyes? Eh? We're going to look at the shepherds. Shepherds living out in the flocks nearby, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Meanwhile, in a manger in Bethlehem, Jesus is being born. And then out in the field, the shepherds are fulfilling their roles. Christmas is it's just no other time of year like it. My wife, Glenda, always has the Christmas spirit, something happened this year. There was no Christmas carols at the end of October. There was no decorations up the middle of November. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong here. And I asked her about it, and she'd just been really busy and just sort of been elusive, but I've got the Christmas spirit. I find that when you don't prepare too early, then you get more when it really counts, which is right now, maybe. So I'm going to do my best to maintain the Christmas spirit. But I think it's a good time of year to gauge what we're living for. And there's been a commercial airing the last while, and I think it's really good. And it shows, there's two scenes, split screen two scenes. And one scene, there's a Christmas tree and children in pajamas opening gifts. And they're just exuberant and they're tearing open gifts. And then on the other side, there's the screen and it's the same children opening gifts and they're having a great time, big smiles, and you just, And then the lingo comes up. The $2,000 Christmas on your credit card. The $500 cash Christmas. Which do you think is a better way to go? And it really expresses well what we live for, that we think that we have to spend more in order to enjoy more. And it really, the Lord's way when it comes to Christmas is, if you give more away, you'll enjoy more. That's really what we should be living for. So we look at the shepherds. You said the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby. And I'm thinking, what were these shepherds living for? What are you and I living for? Keeping watch over their flocks by night. Well, that was their job. They're making a living. And, if you weren't a shepherd, you spent your life outside. Regardless of the weather or the night, all night, every night. That was how you made your living. And there would have been some benefits to it. Those clear, crystal clear skies with no lights to dim the beauty of the creation of God. Maybe that's why the Lord chose them. They were used to looking at God's revelation And but basically, it was just another night at work. You know, they didn't know what was going on. And they were used to the night. And then an angel of the Lord, verse 9, appeared to them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified, as well they might be. You know, you can kind of picture this glow. I've never seen an angel. Anybody ever see an angel? So we're just kind of going on what it says here. You know, there's this kind of glow. There's this person, maybe kind of on fire, feet burning, you know, this sense of terrifying apparition that they saw. And divine revelation kind of works like that. You know, I don't imagine the shepherds were looking for an angel to show up. It just, you know, the angel just showed up into their lives. And that's sort of how revelation works. And you might wish, well, I wish I was there so I could see something like that. Then maybe I could really, really believe. Well, it's funny. The angel never showed up to King Herod. Never showed up to the important people. He showed up to a group of shepherds living out in the fields at night. And that's what often happens with revelation. It's often obscure. You know, Jesus wasn't born, you know, in the temple in Jerusalem. He was born down on the other side of Bethlehem, out in a pasture somewhere, in a manger. Verse 10, what did the angel reveal? So the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." People in Israel were waiting for this night. They'd been waiting for this night for thousands of years. They were the nation to whom God had promised that one day he would bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And God selected a man whose name was Abraham, and out of Abraham he built a nation called Israel from Abraham's grandson Jacob. He changed his name to Israel. And out of those 12 sons of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, came the nation of Israel. And through that line, through that nation, and through the line of Judah, the Messiah was prophesied to be born. So some people were waiting. That's what Luke chapter 1 says. People were waiting for the Messiah to be born. And maybe, but they wouldn't have known what night, and probably have not known what year. But there was a sense of anticipation in the country that night. Of course, Mary knew. And Joseph knew, because an angel had showed up to Mary and given her the same announcement. And the news was the news of a king. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Have you ever had a divine revelation? You know, I was thinking about this because I've been a Christian a long time, like Martin said in his video, you kind of can start taking things for granted, you know. But I remember back to a time when I was a teenager, and I had some kind of revelation. It was our custom in my family every Sunday afternoon to go to my grandmother's house. And I was about 13 or maybe 14, and I didn't want to go. So I asked if I could stay home. They said I could. It was a fall afternoon, beautiful day. And I went for a walk in the woods. I spent about 3 hours that afternoon walking in the woods. And it was just something about that, the light, the sunlight, and the warmth, and the colors. And I became enthralled with something. And I really don't know what to describe it as, except that it must have been God. I just felt that God had kind of visited me that afternoon. And I just was drawn up to him. I wasn't really consciously thinking, but I wasn't just looking at the colors. It just seemed to be something from up high. And I never have forgotten it. I just thought, wow, what was that? Who was that? You ever have anything happen like that to you? Well, something I've learned over the years is when God shows up in a person's life, then pretty soon the gospel is going to show up. And it wasn't long after that I was sitting in our living room with my mom and dad watching a Billy Graham crusade. I was 14 years old, remember it distinctly. And Billy Graham's preaching the gospel. He's telling people to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus and accept Jesus as your Savior. And I'm sitting there, my heart's burning. And nobody said anything. My dad didn't say anything. My mom didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I wanted to say something. And I went to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. And I said, if I can't make it real out there, it's not real. And so I didn't. And I walked away. And that was the beginning of a walking away from God that got me very far from God and got me very deep into sin and despair. Because you can't just walk away from things without it affecting you. Because when God shows up in your life, it's for a reason. So you're here today, and maybe you weren't planning on going to church. I never planned to become a pastor, okay? It wasn't, and what do you want to be, boy, when you grow up? That wasn't first on the list. Actually, it was probably last on the list. It just wasn't something I planned. I never planned on going to church. I never planned on serving God, anything but. But another pivotal event in my life was in 1979. I was 25 years old, and my father died. Suddenly, while I was living in Ontario, he was going for an operation, and my mother called. He said, he's not doing good. You got to come home. And so we flew home, and he was gone. And never got off the table. Heart operation, and it's just one of those things. And if it's happened to you, you know what it's like. It just poof, it blows your world up. And I can remember going out in the backyard the next night, and just looking up and saying to whoever, I guess to my dad, that I was going to change. That I was going to quit living the way I was living. And then it wasn't very long. I started hearing about Jesus. You know, it's interesting how things happen. And then you get your attention. You realize how fragile life is. And then somebody tells you about Jesus. So I went back to Ontario and I was working with Home Hardware and worked the 3 to 11 shift. And I was kind of restless in my heart and not really thinking about what I'd said, but just, you know, something was going on. And so I would go out back into the warehouse at supper time after lunch and after supper and, you know, just kind of kill time before we started working again. And I started hearing somebody preaching on the radio. You know, the radio was on. And so I'd go in a corner where nobody could see me and I would listen to the preacher. The preacher was Perry F. Rockwood. And Perry F., he would preach the gospel. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, get away from me. But at the same time, John, I would go out night after night after night, making sure nobody could see me. It was a big warehouse. I could get lost. And I would listen. And I'd listen. And he would tell me about Jesus. And that's what you can count on when you hear the gospel. When God shows up in your life, you have this mixture of hope and anticipation, and at the same time, it doesn't make you feel very good. I felt convicted. I felt unclean. I felt like I was a sinner. And I believe that's divine revelation. When somebody can bring a message about Jesus Christ and it produces something in your heart, a struggle, I believe that's the Holy Spirit struggling with you or my spirit. So I'm going to demonstrate that this morning. I'm just going to talk, and something happens in your heart, that's be the Holy Spirit talking. Well, so what's it all about, this gospel? Well, God created you on purpose. He made you. He created you. He caused you to be born the year you were born, to the parents you were born to, in the town you were born in, the time you've been born. God created you, and you are here today because God made you. And God loves you. You have children? You love them. God has children? His love is way bigger. And if you have children, you know how big it is. His is greater. He loves you. The gospel says that something has separated us from the love and the presence of God. The Bible calls it sin. The sin has put a gulf or a separation between God and us. So that we have a longing for God, a need for God, and yet we can't find Him. He's beyond our grasp. We can look at the created glory. We can look into the face of tragedy, and we see the need for God, that only God could help us as a human race, and yet He's elusive. We just can't get our hands on Him. And the gospel says that God decided to do something about that. And what He decided to do was to send His one and only Son to bear our judgment, to take the punishment that was due our sin. See, God has a law, and God is a God of justice as well as a God of love. And so God has decided that sin must be paid for. So all the wrongs that have ever been done in this world, they will be accounted for and answered for. And somebody can go in and shoot up a school and kill themselves. That's not the end of it. That person will stand before Almighty God and answer for his crime. And so will I. And so will you. Whatsoever we've done wrong, the gospel says that we will have to give an account to the Creator for. But God's a God of mercy, and so he decided to send his Son. Why? What could his Son do? Well, his Son is divine, born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, a full man, but yet the Son of God. And God allowed him to be killed on a cross as the punishment for our sins, so that he could become your substitute, your Savior. And the gospel says that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin, to pay for my sin and yours, that he was buried, and then on the third day he rose again. Miraculously raised out of the ground, bodily, came back to life. And the gospel says that all who will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, who will turn from sin and turn in faith to Christ, will be saved, will have their sins forgiven, and be able to live forever with God and enjoy all that he has waiting for us. That's the gospel. So how does that make you feel? I know when I would first hear it, I would feel this, yes, there's got to be something out there. There has got to be some answer. But is that it? I kind of was attracted and repelled at the same time. And maybe you are as well. That's good. Because you have to choose. You have to choose. I heard a song by Jimmy Rankin yesterday and about Christmas, and he said his favorite Christmas TV show was Charlie Brown's Christmas. And that's my favorite too. It just can't be beat. Best half hour TV. It's just priceless. And actually one year at our church, years ago, we put it on, and guess who was Charlie Brown? I even had a shirt with a, you know what else? And so, you know the story well, and why do we love this story? Do we love to see Charlie Brown get booted again, get made fun of again? Not really. It's when he's at his lowest, when he cries out, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And Linus walks up with his blanket and says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And suddenly there was, with the heavenly host, a great company of angels. The angel said, today in the city of David is born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Born to you." And you know, when we watch that, and we hear Linus say, "Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill toward men," we're drawn to that because we want to believe it. We know there's something true about it. And that's what the gospel says. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." There's something attractive about Jesus Christ. Maybe people don't like the church much, and that's our fault, because we're not all we should be. But few people have a problem with Jesus. He's wonderful. What will you do? Do you believe most of it? You know, at some point, when you come to a fork in the road and you must make a choice, you never go on 100%. Nobody ever knows everything 100% for sure. Maybe you believe in evolution. Well, when you arrived at that decision to believe in evolution, did you get all the evidence in? Did you read all the books and understand all the theories and come to a reasonable, concrete conclusion? Yes, that's it. I doubt it. I didn't. I grabbed on to evolution because that meant I didn't have to worry about God anymore. I could reject God because now I had an explanation. I didn't really understand it at all. It didn't make any sense at all to me. But I was attracted to it because then I could become accountable to me and I had to worry about God anymore. What a choice. Maybe you have come to the belief that everybody goes to heaven. That's one of the common beliefs in this world today. Everybody goes to heaven, if there is a heaven. Well, where did you get that information? Did you get it from this book or some holy book? Probably not. We just sort of arrive at that. I kind of concocted my own religion. I had a little of this and a little of that. I wasn't a total atheist, but, you know, you just enough to make you comfortable. My personal religion. I chose it. Maybe you've chosen yours. Well, I want to tell you two things today. One, you didn't evolve. You were created by God the Father. And number two, if you want to go to heaven, you need to be forgiven. That's the only way it's going to happen. Because the words of the Christmas story are meant for you and for me today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Not just a man, not just a baby, but Almighty God who became a baby and a man. So you have a choice before you. What will you do? What will you do? You know, if you would like to talk to somebody today, maybe the person you came with, or maybe myself, or anybody here that you know, we'd be happy to talk with you about it. You know what's going to happen in a few weeks' time? People are going to forget about Connecticut. Except the people there, of course. It'll be just one of those things that'll fade into the collective memory of the sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in. That can happen to you as well. When you are faced with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're not sure what to choose, you don't have all the time in the world. You know how Jesus lived his life in the Gospels? He went here, and then he went there. And then he went there, and he just kept moving. And I understood that when the time came for me to give my heart to Christ. As I understood, I remembered when I was 14, and when I was 25, and I decided I can't just let him keep going by, because maybe he won't come back. I don't know how many times a person has, and neither do you. Like Steve said this morning, who knows who? Well, I'll tell you, I could preach two sermons now. There's one. I got all kinds of time left. That's okay. A bunch of the men have cards, and they're going to give them to everybody. A card. So, guys, if you could pass out these cards, just start wherever you want and pass them through the aisles. Because the title of this message is, Who Will You Tell? So now it's directed more toward you who know Jesus as your Savior. Got lots of time. That's why I'm waiting. Silence, you know that. And then silence is golden. It says, Who Will You Tell in 2013? You know, I believe that, that this is important. Because the main point of this message is coming up here in these two verses. It says in verse 16 of Luke 2, the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It is a natural thing when you hear good news to spread the word. And so what I think we should do as a church for this coming year is decide to do something together to tell the good news. Everybody get one? If you didn't get one, just put your hand up and they'll see you. Bunch over here. Nobody over here. Ryan's coming. He's coming from the back. You know, this is how strongly I feel about this. I feel that God has put it on my heart. So this is a message from the Holy Spirit to Faith Baptist Church, from one of your pastors. And so I'm doing this in the name of Jesus Christ, not because I come up with some idea, but I really believe this is what God wants us to do. Because I think we need to put feet to our faith again, a fresh start. So it says, who will you tell in 2013? And it says, begin to earnestly pray for one specific local person. One person. Sometimes we get overwhelmed at the need of the world, but if we would share with one person, if we would make a difference in the lives of one person, how many people would that be? Well, there's over 200 people in our church family. So that would be 200 people in this area. And what if some of those responded to the gospel and then they told somebody? You know, you can change communities like that. You can revolutionize schools like that. Families can be reunited. Marriages can be healed. People can turn away from suicide. Alcoholics can turn away from the bottle. People can turn to God and God can heal their lives. I'm one. It could be a family, friend, or neighbor. Pray every day for an open door. See, I believe when we pray, when we determine that we will pray, I believe God will decide to act. And if we would pray for an open door, then I believe God will give an open door. Pray for that and the courage to obey the Lord and share the gospel. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, somebody risked rejection, personal rejection, to tell you and to tell me, right? I can remember who told me. The one that really made a difference was my wife. Here I am, asking her out on a date, looking for something. And she... and she's out on a date witnessing for somebody. And I kept thinking, what is this? And it was a mixture of that. Yeah, this is what I need. But people, you know, when I accepted the Lord and I started coming to church and the pastor's wife said, we've been praying for you. It kind of freaked me out. Like, because like you just kind of, you know, what's going on, right? Because when, like, you know, Jesus said it's like being born again. And it's like the wind blows. And you see the wind is blowing, but you don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. And that's exactly how what I felt like. Wow, it was like a whole new thing. And the Spirit of God just blew into my life and just blew up my life and changed my life. I'm just so thankful. So on there, it says, the person I want to reach is. I want you to think about who that person is. And I want you to put below it, my prayer partner will be, you find somebody who will pray with you, and you pray with them. Maybe you'll have to go ask somebody. Maybe you already know who it'll be. But it's like a team effort. I think we could make a tremendous difference in our communities in this area in 2013. If we would do this simple thing. On the back says, who you tell. On the back says, what will you say? Well, there's just some different things there. I love the bridge illustration. Learn how to draw it. Learn how to explain it. It's very easy. This is the bridge illustration. All of humanity is on one side, and in between them and God is a great gulf. And I mentioned earlier, it's sin. And we have a desire to cross over to be with God, but we don't know how to get there. And God bridged the gap with the cross of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do to cross over is to turn from sin and trust in Jesus. That's all we have to do. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. We didn't have the scripture available for the screen this morning. But you know this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You would rather that God would show up, I know. But you got me. Because that's what God has called people to do. We show up for him. We are his hands and his feet. It is though God were making an appeal through us. There's other versions of the Bible, specifically the Message. You know what it says? We are his representatives. And you know there's a word inherent in representatives. What is it? If you're a representative, what are you? You're sent. Represent. It, when I looked at it, you see the word just kind of jumped out. Sent. That means you were sent as a representative of Christ. An ambassador is somebody who's sent to represent the master to somebody else. So I want you to think back for a minute to that person who represented Jesus to you and brought you the gospel and risked rejection. Think of who that person was. Now go and be that person. Go and be that person. Well, I'll tell you, this will not happen very often, but it's happening today that at 11:45, we finished. So let's all stand for prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for providing for us the means of rescue. Lord, we need a Savior. Our world needs the Savior. But Lord, we as individuals, we need someone who gives our would give our lives meaning. So we know, Lord, where we came from and why we're here and where we're going. Lord, we need someone who would reconcile us with the truth, would bring peace into our hearts as well as peace into our world. Will give us a purpose to live for that's greater than just making a living and just living for today. So Lord, you have given us the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, I pray for anyone today who has heard this message and is filled with that spiritual mixture of hope and anger and faith and doubt. That Lord, they would not walk away, but Lord, that they would consider that maybe this is their time, that the spiritual winds are blowing in their face, and that Lord, it is their opportunity to reach out and touch the heart of God. And Lord, for those of us who know you and love you, you've made all the difference, Lord, in our lives. You have brought peace where there was despair and turmoil. You have given us a living hope, a hope, Lord, that just seems to grow brighter and brighter every day. You have placed us together as a church family where, Lord, we really know what true love is, where we really care for each other. And, Lord, we're not perfect and we're far from it, but, Lord, we just thank you for this community of believers, this family we belong to. And so, Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, may we go as your representatives. And Lord, may you be pleased to do a mighty work through us in the coming year. So bless these folks, Lord. Bless their families. Bless their hearts. Bless their lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.